Welcome to ClickFunnels Radio, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here's your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to ClickFunnels Radio. I am really excited. You're going to have a ball of energy today with Amanda Bolin. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor and always so fun to be on the other side of the mic.
Speaking of the other side of the mic, Amanda launched a podcast called She Did It Her Way in January 2015. She has her 450th episode airing next week. Highly recommend that you guys jump onto this. She's been recognized as a top female entrepreneur by Inc. and Forbes and Entrepreneur and Huffington Post and the list of every other accolade you can find out there, because she's absolutely been crushing it, helping people basically, really, especially primarily women, navigate from this transition from this corporate cubicle into becoming their own boss. So, Amanda, I'm super excited to kind of dive into this. I think this is a journey. Again, if you haven't checked out her website, you can go check that out at She Did It Her Way. Some of the things you'll find at the very bottom of that are 7 really cool ideas as far as the mental mindset and really how you overcome these crazy things. We're going to talk about these, as well as one of my favorite ones, the very last one, number 7, and that is detaching from the outcome. And I think that was my biggest struggle in the very beginning. But with all that said, Amanda, let's go back to you. You want to tell people a little bit about how you got started in this cold, crazy world?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, do we have 2 full days to do that? I could just unpack everything, right? I always feel like I need to figure out how to synthesize this so it makes sense, but let's just go right for it. So I launched She Did It Her Way podcast in 2015. And at that point, I was 3 years into being my own boss. I was a full-time freelance facilitator. I subcontract on projects around sales training, leadership development, employee engagement. I was traveling the world and, you know, living out of a suitcase, which at the age of 24 was pretty glamorous. You're like, please send me on a plane. Like, let me rack up all the miles. I'll fly first class, like all that stuff. And there came a part. So that was in 2012 when I quit my job. And then in 2015, probably 2014, before the actual launch, I started getting this like, okay, I kind of want something on my own. I don't really know what it is. I don't want to do blogging. I like talking, and I'm genuinely curious about the way other people's brains tick, like what makes them do what they do. And I love talking business. So enter in, I feel like I was sitting at the kitchen table sometime in 2014. It was like, She Did It Her Way. And I'm like, that's amazing. So let's do a podcast. Totally launched the podcast, had no intention of it being an online business of what it is today, right? And I think sometimes that's the beauty of it, is when it like starts as a creative endeavor and you're like, oh, this is amazing, right? And so from there, in the first year, I think because given the name of it and where we were and the type of content we're releasing, we got ranked and named in like Forbes and didn't get all that. And so the first 2.5 years of running the podcast, it was purely just, you know, interviews. I hadn't really stepped into this whole online space. Like, what is a digital course? And what do you mean a funnel? Like, you know, the funnels that you use for cooking, like, is that funnel? And then you're no, then you learn it's like email marketing, all this stuff. And it wasn't until like the end of 2017 when I actually hosted my first like offer, which was an in-person event, which everyone was like, why would you start with an in-person event? You should go the digital route. But it was amazing. In less than 3 months, we had over 35 tickets sold by women from 11 different states and someone from Canada. And that was a really triggering moment in a good way, where I'm like, wow, this is evidence that people are looking for something. And it was evidence of my sweet spot, because I love being a maestro and bringing people together. And then from there, you know, we spent the next 2.5 years. I spent the next 2.5 years kind of throwing things against the wall, testing out things, facilitating my own group coaching, seeing how I could get transformation. And those 2 or 3 years were like some of the most growth years. And I'm sure you could attest to this, that being in business for yourself is one of the best personal development boot camps that you could ever like imagine yourself going through, because the discomfort you have to experience and the belief within yourself and the belief within the transformation that you can provide for your clients has to be so strong. Otherwise, if it's not, it's really challenging to actually get yourself to show up. And that was something that I personally struggled with, where I'm really typically a confident person, but when you get started and you start doing something new, you don't have that track record for success. Your brain doesn't have that track record for success. So it's important to figure out, how do you create small wins to build that capacity to continue moving forward? So today, the way that we really help women get the transformation is through one, Her Way to 75K, which is our monthly membership program. And it's really all about how do you build an online business in as little as 2 hours. And the reason 2 hours a week, and the reason why it's 2 hours a week is because a lot of the women that we work with and that we talk to, it's, you know, they're working their full-time job. Yeah. But I also want to create this environment and belief around, like, even if you have 2 hours a week and you invest 2 hours a week times 4 times a month, times 12 times a year, you will be further along than if you took zero action. I always say 20 minutes of working out is better than 0 minutes of working out. So if we can just get you into action for 2 hours a week, help you understand how to plan accordingly, focus on what you're going to produce. And at the beginning, it might not entirely matter what you're producing, but let's just build that habit. Then we actually have evidence that we can go back and look at and say what worked, what didn't. Let's plan for the next 30 days. And then once we start going, we can plan for 60 days. So that's what we do in Her Way to 75K. And then we also have a program called Podcast Your Way for anyone who wants to either launch a podcast from scratch, similar to what we did. We had no audience. She Did It Her Way audience was built on the podcast. Or the other reason is if you're already a content creator and you create blogs and you create IGTVs, like, how do you just create a system to easily and efficiently, I'm all about batching and streamlining, so you can scale.
We talked about that.
Yeah, love that stuff. And then do it in a way where it's profitable, right? Like, create this ecosystem around your business as opposed to just leaning on sponsors the whole time. So that is in a nutshell is what She Did It Her Way is and the journey.
Well, I'm excited. I think that it's interesting. Again, here we are talking on a podcast. It's I'm just a few episodes ahead of you, 500 something. But I think the part I've gone through on this journey is so many times, I'm like, I'm so done with this, to the point I've even done podcasts and I'm like, this is my last one. I am so done with this. No one's getting any value out of this. And all of a sudden you get blown up. Oh, no, don't stop. Don't stop. And I'm like, oh, the pain. And so I've gone through that journey as a creator. And, part of it, it's a little bit easier when you're interviewing someone else. Someone like you basically just provides a ton of the content. And I've done episodes where it's just me. And I'm like, it's this gut-wrenching experience of just giving birth to this idea. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But I think that when you take a look at this journey, I'm kind of curious why you started with the podcast first.
Oh, I mean, writing is definitely not my strong suit and I'd rather talk to someone all day long. So, I mean, aside from the fact that I was like, writing is not my strength. Like, I started a personal blog and started as loosely simply as a creative outlet with no sort of financial result, because that was something that I wanted to cultivate, was that creativeness. But, and I even preface on there, I was like, I am not a strong writer, just so you know. But, it's simply because I love talking, and that's where, I mean, when you look at how you spend your time, it's not just how you spend your time. It's also how you expend and spend your energy. And for me, I can have a conversation and spend an hour with someone and feel so lit up for the next 4 hours beyond that, versus if I had to sit down and write a blog post and reiterate it, make sure that it's cohesive and no spelling mistakes, which I probably would still be, that's just energy draining. So that's the way I started with the podcast. I wish I could say that it was because I was ahead of the market and I just knew that it was up and coming, but it really came down to like me just admitting and saying, I love talking and this is how I want to, you know, make my mark in the world.
Man, I appreciate that. I think that what you said there is really critical for anyone who's listening to this. And that is, you've got to find out what is unique to you. What are you good at? Mm-hmm. What do you like doing? I'm the same way. I hate writing. I absolutely hate writing. And so for me, a podcast or video or something like that is a million times easier for me to do. And I think it's critical as you start taking a look at, you know, the steps that people are going through. And I love your idea as far as giving 2 hours a week and just starting to do something. So walk me through these 7 steps that we were kind of talking about. And how do you overcome it's that headspace between your ears of the doubt and the frustration. And you get starting all this hope and dream and aspiration, then it just dies. And then you're like, how do I get it going again? So
I'm real
curious to kind of see.
Yeah. And I feel like there's so many angles that we could enter in this conversation where it's almost like just get yourself to commit for 3 years and put your head down, and regardless of the outcome and how uncomfortable you are, you just commit to always putting one foot in front of the other. And I think starting with those 7 success principles, especially in the beginning stages, because we talk about imposter syndrome, and imposter syndrome is probably so new when you're just getting started. But then as you become a seasoned entrepreneur, you start to expect when things get uncomfortable and you're like, got it. I have the tools to navigate that. But number one would be to focus on mastering your mindset, in which mastering your mindset, I think, is always an ever evolving thing. But really, so much of your results in your life are produced by the thoughts that you think. And so if you are questioning, or if you're asking a question of doubt, you're going to get a result that is, you know, half-ass, or it's filled with doubt. And Tony Robbins talks about this, that the quality of your life is determined by the quality of questions you ask yourself. And so if you're thinking thoughts, or you're asking questions that aren't supportive, that don't produce an answer or a feeling in this case, that produces an action to get you the result, like, you're going to stay exactly where you are. And Napoleon Hill goes into, your thoughts create your feelings, that create your actions that produce the result. And so really understanding that just because you think a thought, it doesn't mean that it's a fact. It doesn't mean that it's true. And that's a, like, whatever you think, it's like, that's okay. So if you can understand, I know Brooke Castillo talks about this with the model, highly recommend listening to her podcast, because that's where
she's amazing.
Like, it's incredible. And like, once you understand, yeah, once you understand how your brain works, then you can start to coach yourself through all the challenges. Like, if you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking about investing in ClickFunnels or investing in yourself and taking that next step, and you think the thought of like, oh, but is it going to work out? That's a question of doubt that's going to leave you feeling kind of like unsure. So you don't actually take action, and you're going to be exactly where you are today in the next 7 days or the next 14 days, right? So that's number one. Number two is invest in yourself and really identify what identify the person, or I would look at the person and identify like the type of business, and the type of success that they have that you want, and figure out like what that looks like. And a quick example is that if you want to start a virtual assistant business and you're working full time, rather than trying to DIY it yourself, go find a course, invest, right? It's time and money. And I remember in the beginning, I was like, I'm going to hack this, I can figure it out. But then you start to, as you get further down the journey of entrepreneurship, you're like, my time is so valuable. Like, yes, I'll invest X dollars amount to make sure that I can figure it out, right? So really being confident and comfortable to invest in yourself and to be able to make that investment, because the quickest path of success is, I mean, success leaves clues. So if you can get that path of someone who's done it before you and who's been successful, like, that is worth the time and money of investment. The third thing is I always recommend,
before you jump to number three, I want to spend a little bit of time on it, invest in yourself, because I think that's the part that I see a lot of people struggle with. It's that balance between, I either have time or I have money. I don't have both. And a lot of times people go through what you were referring to, where it's like, you know what, I'm just going to, I'll hack this all myself. There's a ton of YouTube videos. I'm sure I can go figure this out. And so you go through this just litany of hours and hours, and you're still in the exact same spot. And I know that I was talking with a couple of guys yesterday about this whole idea of investing in yourself. And part of that investing, one of the guys I was talking to mentioned this whole idea, as far as you need to create a failure budget. And set aside,
I love that,
a budget that, you know what, you can set aside a budget as far as, I'm going to invest X dollars, or I'm going to spend this. But he said the big takeaway he had was this idea, as far as having a failure budget, and realize you're going to spend time and you're going to spend money, and it's not all going to work. And it goes back to your mindset thing. If you think that everything has to work, you are going to be doomed from the very beginning. And so I love his idea of creating a failure budget. Say, you know what, I'm budgeting, I don't care if it's $1,000 or $5,000, whether it works or it doesn't work, which kind of goes back to your last one, and that is detached from the outcome. And so often, I think a person buys a course and it's like, I spent $97 and this thing should make me $75,000. I'm like, it's not going to. So I just realize it's not going to.
I love the failure budget for that. And then it also reminded me of two things, is this learn one, implement one. I think if you go out and you invest in all these courses and you try to implement, it's like, you're going to get overwhelmed, hands down, right? So pick one and implement it. And then in the next 60 to 90 days, figure out, okay, what do I need next, right? And the other thing, back to the failure budget point, is like, and I used to do, like, in the beginning, I used to think like, this course or this program is going to be the silver, like the ticket to this multi-six-figure, multi-seven-figure business. And I put so much pressure on it. And then when it didn't work, there was this moment of like, well, this product doesn't work. And it's like, no, now I've learned to go into the mindset and like, say, what's the one thing that I want to get out of this program? And how do I deem it as success? And realize, like, approach it from that way, versus like thinking that this program is going to be your magic bullet of all of a sudden, you're just going to make that, you know, you're going to get your comma club award. but yeah, I think so. That one, the third one, is validate your business before you leap. I always recommend this, like, bring in sales before you quit your job. Like, it's, you may want to quit your job so badly, but don't think that when you have all this time and energy, you're just going to figure it out. Now, again, everybody's threshold and risk tolerance is very different. There's certain ways that you can go about it, about your leap, but like, figure out what is most tolerable for you. And also just be really intentional. Like, the thought of, I'm just going to figure it out when I leap. To me, I've seen that. I've seen people do that. And so much stuff happens. So much drama comes up in your mind, so much doubt that like it paralyzes you. Then the fourth is make sure that you get your money and legal house in order. So again, I'm not a lawyer or a financial planner, but by all means, like definitely find people who can help you get those things set up. Number five, play the long game. So know that it's a journey. It's not a destination, as cliche as it sounds. It's like, what are you learning about yourself and how are you growing along the way? And number six is to stay aligned. And what I mean by stay aligned is sometimes I think there's this tendency of wanting to rush, rush, rush and hurry up. And there's a difference to me in my mind of taking massive, consistent, steady action and then rushing to hurry up and get over there. Yeah. You're not present. And like sometimes the rushing gets us into a mindset of I should be further along, which that thought is not supportive in actually getting to our destination / getting the outcomes that we want, because we're so focused on how we're not there that we're not actually present of like what is working, what's not. And then the seventh is detaching from the outcome. So like, how can you put your goal out there? How can you then like detach from it, use it as a guide, but not make it mean that when you don't reach your goal that you should quit or give up, right? Everything also in life is what we make things mean. And so it's, detaching from the outcome is huge.
No, I totally agree with you on that. That whole idea as far as detaching from your outcome has been I wish I had learned that earlier in my entrepreneurial journey, because I was so ROI focused and there has to be, this is the outcome. It has to happen this way. And all the plan, none of it ever came together. And I always felt like, gosh, I'm just screwing this thing up over and over and over and over again. And I look at, again, hindsight, I've been an entrepreneur now for the last 20 plus years. And I never in a million years would have thought I'm where I'm at now. There was no path that I couldn't have created a path of where I am. There's just no way in the world. Right. And all the failures and all the things that have happened in the past actually created the entrepreneurial muscle to power through a lot of the stuff to get to where we are right now. And I think that so often we get focused on the outcome and we're so outcome driven that you don't realize that, you know what, sometimes that outcome isn't in the cards. It's not what God wants you to experience. It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm grateful. Again, I guess it goes back to, you know, being grateful for all the unanswered prayers and all the craziest things that didn't go the way I wanted to, but I'm grateful as I look back now and say, oh my gosh, if I hadn't just been continuing at it day in and day out, it provides the success you have right now.
Yeah. Amen to that. And like, the detachment from the outcome is key, because, and I see this happen a lot, and I almost like, I experienced this too. And I'm curious if you did, like in the beginning, when you're launching something new and you're like, okay, I'm putting it out in the world. Like, who's going to buy? I want to have 8 people sign up for my group coaching program. And I have a 0 list and I have 0 audience, but I'm going to get 8. And let's say you get 0 or 1. It's like, that's really where, you know, it's easy for our brain to be like, you failed, you should give up, like quit shop. And it's like, no. Like, this is part of the process. Just let's release it. How do we be curious? And how do we continue moving forward? And like you said, there's no way that you could have written your life timeline to be exactly the way that it is. And it's almost like, but you wouldn't change it, right? Like, we're here on this journey. And so it's just like, how do we stay aligned and detached from the outcome as we take steps moving forward while not being in a rush and operating from a very consistent, confident place?
Oh, I love that. I think I'm grateful for just seeing the success that you've had and seeing where you're at, again, in a short period of time. I mean, we're, you know, short's relative. At 7 years into this thing.
Right?
I see what I said, but I'm like, it's been 7 years. But for most people, they don't understand. That's amazing to be where you're at. I mean, people, they look at you now and you're like, oh my gosh, Amanda, you're just an overnight success.
You quickly learn. Like, I mean, we spent 2.5 years building an audience before offering anything, and not, that wasn't intentional, right? Like, it was more of, I was doing full-time freelance, but, even still since the end of 2017, I would say like, it's been a short amount of time, but it feels really good. And that's why you got to play the long game. And so much. And I think as you begin continuing, you know, every day that goes by as an entrepreneur, you really realize like there's no rush, there's no right or wrong. Let's just play the long game. And like, how do I stay focused on the daily stuff with having goals, but detaching from them at the same time. So yeah. And it to have fun, like if you're not having fun, granted, there's times where it's not fun. But overall, I would say I try to have fun and be curious because, you know, why do we get into business?
Yeah.
I mean, impact and value and income, right? But how we do that, we can always have a little fun. So
I'm a huge advocate of fun. To me, I think you work super hard, so you better play hard as well. And I know that I take a look at just the way you look at energy and how do you recharge? And every single one of us recharges differently. You know, an extrovert's going to recharge by being around people and a lot of that type of stuff. And introvert, it's a lot of that recharging by spending time by themselves, by reading, by doing different things. And it's interesting just to find out, how do you recharge? What is your energy source? Because as an entrepreneur, that energy is one of the most important things to keep you going day in and day out. Because at least in my experience, when those batteries get really low, yesterday was classic. I was wiped out yesterday. I canceled. I was supposed to have an interview with Mark Victor Hansen and his wife, and I literally canceled it. I'm just like, I'm so sorry. I'm so exhausted. Yeah. I don't have any energy to give. I'm done. And I went home early last night. And my wife's like, are you okay? I'm like, sweet, I'm dead. I am just like, so tired.
I'm depleted.
I was. Great night's sleep, and I'm ready to go. So it's
Is that how you recharge your batteries, is by sleep, or what do you do? Because
no.
I don't want to assume that you're an extrovert, but I feel like
I definitely am an extrovert. Yeah. There's no assumption needed there at all. Yeah. I definitely am. For me, I get a lot of energy by being outside. Yeah. There's something magical for me about being outdoors. Last night I went home. My wife was at the gym. I said I was going home early. She's like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine.
Like, no, everything's fine.
So I got on the golf cart. I played a round of golf. She came join me, and she was taking care of her business while she was sitting in the passenger seat next to me. Because I love having her there by me. It's just by being with her, even though she might be doing her own thing, that's a way of my recharging. I had the opportunity of I've got a one-year-old grandson, Nixon, came over last night, and seeing him was a bunch of energy. Spending time with my boys is a way I get a lot of energy recharged, and just shutting everything else off and just spending time with my family. That's my best way of recharging, especially if I can do that outdoors. I love, we've got a cabin in the mountains. So if we can go up, we'll go up there this weekend or whatever. Just, I have to be outside. It's really hard being in an office. I look outside and the sun's shining. I'm like, I need to be outside.
Yeah, no, exactly. Next time you record your next podcast, you like move the whole operations outside. And there's like birds in the background. But I mean, why not? You're the host. You can do that. Yeah.
So that's how I find energy for me.
Yeah. Little humans are the best too.
Oh, they are. They are tons of fun. Well, how about yourself? How do you do it?
I think like being outside, being disconnected from any sort of social media, shutting down, limiting consumption's a really big thing. Cooking actually is really therapeutic for me. I love to cook. It's creative. I think like for me, when I think of activities, it's cooking. I am an extrovert, but I definitely am someone that, I don't know if it's age possibly or what, but and I think like what you're saying, as an entrepreneur, it's so important for us to protect our time and energy that like I've just gotten really, and maybe it was COVID, I have no idea, but I, you know, you just start to see like, okay, there's your core audience, like your, not audience, but your core, well, that too, but core group. And you know who, you know what, and who recharges you, and you know who doesn't. And so it's, you're just way more aware and intentional about where and who you spend your time with. I like more small intimate gatherings as opposed to larger groups. I think because
I'm the same way.
People, like I want to have deeper conversations. So if it goes beyond six people, I'm like, kind of checked out, because I feel like I can't make that connection. And then having surface level conversations actually really drain me. I want to go deep and like understand you and your world and all of that. And so, yeah, I like in more intimate gatherings, but as soon as it gets really large, if I'm like attending an event, like I always have to find like a core group of people that I can really like ground in, I guess. So yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
No, I think it's important as an entrepreneur or anyone who's going through this journey of going from the cubicle to becoming your own boss, is as you go through those seven steps and detach yourself from that outcome and really realize that your energy, and as you made mention, man, I totally agree. Controlling time and controlling energy for me, that's really the only thing I feel like I can have control over in my day. The rest of my day goes crazy. But if I can control the time and the energy, those are the two things that I focus on a lot. So I wear an Oura ring. I pay attention to sleep.
Oh my, yes, the Oura ring. I am with you. People are always like, is that your husband's wedding ring? I'm like, no. I'm like, it's an Oura ring. And they're like, a mood ring? I'm like, okay, forget it. Never mind. Move on. But I am like, what's my heart rate variability? What's my temp? Yeah, amazing.
So those are the types of things I do. I pay attention to energy. And so this 10,000 steps in.
An Oura ring ad. If you don't have
there
one,
it is.
You should get one.
Go to AuraRing.com. Get an app. Get your ring.
Yeah.
Well, Amanda, any other parting words for our audience?
I mean, you can review the seven steps on SheDidItHerWay.com. And I think really kind of like allow yourself, if you're in the beginning stages of building your business, to allow them to guide you and to understand that. And just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Nothing's gone wrong and you're exactly where you need to be and stay focused on the present moment.
I love it.
Yeah.
Amanda, thank you so much. So again, go to She Did It Her Way and you guys can get in contact with Amanda. I believe all of your Instagram and other things are there as well. So you can find her resources about podcasts, free trainings, all that stuff. So SheDidItHerWay.com. Amanda, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Well, I hope you absolutely loved all the value of that podcast. Speaking of value right now, one of the things we're really trying to do is over-deliver. And the thing we've seen that has probably created the greatest opportunity for us to over-deliver to all of you, and that is our One Funnel Away Challenge. In fact, you can actually see it at clickfunnelsradio.com/OFA. Again, clickfunnelsradio.com/OFA. If you've gone through the One Funnel Away Challenge in the past, this is something totally new. We started the One Funnel Away Challenge back in 2018, and it is now 2.5 years later, we decided to completely redo it. Everything brand new. Simplifying the process, making it just as easy as possible for you to get results quick. Just spend 30 minutes every single day, and what you're going to get is Russell teaching you exactly what you need to do to get your funnel up and running in the next 30 days. So go to clickfunnelsradio.com/OFA and you can get all the details there. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.